Good morning, folks. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're glad that you're here. We'll have a special time with our Bible school kids in a few minutes. They had a great week. A lot of little ones, but it's always a blessing to have them. And some of us can remember the Bible schools we had participated in a long time ago. But we're glad you're here. If you're visiting, we want you to feel blessed and welcome. And we pray God will just touch your hearts today. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that's ours. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Bible school that we had. We thank you for the leaders. They invested so much time and energy and finances and other things into making it possible. Thank you for every child, every parent that made sure their children were here. And I pray, Father, that if Jesus tarries, that these kids, some of them will remember 50 or 60 years from now, things they learned this week. Father, I pray that you've touched hearts, drawn those kids closer to Jesus. Lord, I pray for every family, every individual. Lord, we love you. We know that you love us. We're so thankful for your presence. We magnify Jesus. Lord, we hear the angels circling the throne of God crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And truly you are holy. Holy, holy, holy." And we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I guess you can tell by the things that are going on around you that this Bible school today, where we're going to talk about the Bible school and the celebration of Bible school. And for sure, we'll get to that in just a few moments. But the pastor just prayed about holy, holy, holy. Now let's sing about holy, holy, holy. If you would, please, everyone stand. We've got three verses of holy, holy, holy. Darkness hide thee, though ushers, you may come down. You may be seated. Respectful prayer, please. Stand for the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Be seated. Well, as I said a while ago, that this Sunday is celebration of Bible school. I want to say a special thank you to Emily and Hannah for directing the Bible school this year. If you would you please both stand, please? Now, would you give them a round of applause? If you taught, if you cooked, if you cleaned, whatever you could do, if you're like me, you just floated in and floated out. It was a wonderful experience. If you would, please, if you had a part of that, would you stand, please? Everybody that worked, if you did, stand. And now let's give them a... And thank you. I hope I didn't get ahead of you too much, but I just felt the need to make sure that you all were, the church knew exactly how these Bible schools happen. It's a lot of work. I don't have to tell you all that, but it's so rewarding. I saw young people yesterday, and I, for the first time, some of them I'd never seen before, and singing and having a good time together, and it's wonderful to see. Wonderful to see. I've got a few announcements I'm going to share with you. First of all, there'll be no services tonight, nothing at all. So take the afternoon and visit or get you some rest after Bible school. You can do that too. Whatever you think is best, you do this afternoon. It's all clear and all everything's fine. Next Wednesday, we will have our Bible study, and the deacons will not meet next Wednesday, but we'll meet the following Wednesday. So be sure you got that, okay? And I don't have any other announcements except there's some other things are in the bulletin about time, but I don't have anything else, anything new announcements. Yes, Gary?
Just a reminder, the nominating committee will meet at 7:30 on Wednesday night after service.
So the nominating committee will meet Wednesday night.
Just a reminder.
Okay, right after. Okay. All right, you nominating committee members. Okay. I hope you got a bunch of yeses already. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. All right.
So,
I'm sorry?
Rosina.
Oh, yeah, Rosina. Go ahead. The Wings are meeting?
The Wings will be canceled, but come back in August.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the Wings ladies will not have your meeting, okay? Anyone else? Anywhere? All right. Then let's go ahead and have our prayer request at this time. I have some that's already been mentioned and I have made notes of. Brother Jim will be having some possible have some surgery. Hope we're not going to have surgery. We're just going to have a stent put in there. And that blockage you've got to be taken care of, Brother Jim. So let's keep him, the Mike Udy family. Let's remember the Pat Burgess family as well. And then remember my wife, Donna. She's got tests coming, both in eyesight and both in her hip. So she's got some things to do to get back on track. So let's keep her in our prayers as well, please. Are there other prayer requests this morning that we need to lift up?
Henry.
Yes. Okay. All right. All right, Janice, we'll pray for him. Yes, sir, Robert.
Will has a bad kidney infection.
Will, okay. All right. Are there others? Okay, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day you've given us to assemble ourselves together and to worship your name. But Lord, we also thank you for this special day of celebration that we celebrate Vacation Bible School. We thank you for each teacher, for each worker, for the work they've done as they made the difference in some young child. We thank you for that. We thank you for each family that are represented. Thank you for the moms and dads that sent the children. We thank you for their blessings upon them. But now, Lord, we also ask a special blessing upon those who have been mentioned already, and we'd like to mention them individually to you. We lift up to you Brother Jim as he looks in further work with his heart. We pray for him, Lord, that the damage will be minimum and he'll be restored back to his full degree of health. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost the loved ones, the Mike Udy family, the Pat Burgess family. We lift them up to you. Pray for my wife, Donna, Lord, as she is having tests, more tests, and going forward. We pray for Janice's grandson, where he's located. Lord, we lift him up to you, Lord, for safety and for your care. Lord, we also pray for Will, who has a kidney infection. We pray for him and lift him up. We ask the Lord our special blessing upon our pastor, upon Barber's Grove Baptist Church, as we go forward, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll always be, and that we will be in the center of your will. Now, Lord, as we go forward into Bible school celebration, we pray, Lord, for each one who will have a part. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. All right, Bible school celebration. Let me know if I need to move anything.
People, I like to be behind the scenes, but I really do want to thank everybody that helped with Bible school, that brought their kids. It's really been a blessing. It's a lot of work, but it's so worth it when you see these kids up here singing. So I really forgot what I was going to say. The theme was What a Mess, and we learned about how Jesus loves messy people, and we're all messy. And if you were here yesterday, you definitely saw that we were messy. And once the bigger kids come up here, I'll ask if any of them want to say anything that they learned about. But first, our little ones are going to sing Jesus Loves Me.
Down there. Okay. Awesome. I saw these little girls everywhere.
No.
I expended that much energy, I'd go home and sleep for a month. And if I tried some of those dance moves, I'd probably tangle up my feet and might not stop rolling until I hit the back door back there. So, but you know, kids are precious. Amen. Precious, precious, precious. And we need to encourage their love for Jesus and their love for the church. Amen. Encourage them, encourage them, encourage them. Because what a difference it makes when kids grow up encouraged in the Lord. You've heard me say many times, I had a drug problem growing up. My mama drugged me to church every time the doors were open. Every time the doors are open. I have something I want you to think about today. Suppose I went over to Ted Barbie's greenhouse, and I've been over there in the spring when he had planted tomato plants in buckets or in milk jugs. And I've been over there, they'd be up about yay high. Suppose I bought some of those, took them home, lined them down my sidewalk that went from front door to the driveway. And then I went over here on Saturday to the farmer's market, bought a bunch of tomatoes, and went back and got Scotch tape and Scotch tape all those tomatoes to those tomato plants. Somebody driving down the road would say, oh man, he must be a fantastic gardener. Because all they would see is just plants with tomatoes. They wouldn't see that little Scotch tape that held them on to those plants. But you know, it'd all be a sham, a pretense. It would look good, but it wouldn't be anything real. Now, we know if we took those plants and made sure they got proper fertilizer and proper water and proper sunshine, they'd produce on their own. So the question I want us to think about today is, what kind of fruit are we producing as individuals and as a church? What kind of fruit are you producing? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. Now, instead of fruit, Paul here is using the concept of building, but it's the same principle. What are we producing? And he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, if we're going to do anything that pleases the Heavenly Father, we're going to start with the foundation of Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. The song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Paul says, I lay a foundation, and the foundation is Jesus. Our lives, if we're going to produce anything that honors the Lord, is going to be built on the foundation of Jesus. If anything in this church pleases the Lord, it's going to be built on the foundation of Jesus. It's not going to be built on the foundation of the preacher or the deacons or the membership. It's going to be built on Jesus. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 12, now if any man build thereupon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Paul says, what kind of foundation do we start with? Jesus. And what do we use to build upon Jesus? He says we can build with materials that will not stand fire. Wood, hay, stubble, straw. And the thing is, in ancient Rome, a lot of the poorer people, that's what they built their houses out. They built their houses out of straw. They built their houses out of hay, grass, pieces of wood. And when a fire would sweep through a neighborhood, everything would burn. But he also says we can build with things that will withstand the fire. We can build with gold, silver, and precious jewels. Now we ask the question again, what are we building and how are we building? What kind of fruit are we producing as individuals and as a church? Now a moment ago I started with an illustration where fake or real tomatoes were put on fake on vines, but it was all a sham. We have to remember, what is God's evaluation, not mine? What does God see as real as versus what man sees real? You remember a couple of biblical illustrations. Jesus is standing there in the temple and he's watching people drop money in the offering box. And some rich folks go by and they drop in great, great, great amounts of golden coins and silver coins. It looks impressive. And then some poor widow comes in and drops in, basically, the Bible says two mites in the King James, a couple of pennies. And Jesus said she just gave more than they did. She gave all that she had. They just gave the excess, a little leftovers. You see, God wants to know, are the things that we are doing for the Lord, are they real? Are they not? Another illustration. You remember on Jesus telling the story of two men who go to the pray? And one stands up and, Lord, I thank you. I tithe, I go to church, I'm a good man, I'm moral. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that old sinner over in the corner. And that publican over in the corner says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went home justified. And if you read the King James, it says, the guy that was so proud, it says he prayed thus with himself. God wasn't listening. He was praying with himself, bragging on what a great moral person he was. And God said it was nothing. The man who touched the heart of God was a sincere man who recognized his need of God. Is the fruit that we bear real, or is it tacked on? Are we building our lives with wood, hay, and stubble, or with precious gem? Now here's the key I want you to understand. If we want to build, or if we want to produce real fruit, there's only one way to do it. Turn with me to John 15. There's only one way to do it. John 15. verse 4. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now catch what Jesus is saying. When we abide in him, we bring forth fruit. And the more we abide in him, the more fruit we bring forth. And apart from Jesus, he says what? You can do nothing. And in verse 4, he says you can't. If you don't abide in the vine, you can't produce fruit. Now see, this is what helps us as believers to really become strong, fruit-bearing Christians. The ability to learn to abide in Jesus. Now what does that mean, to abide in Jesus? You may have a concept of what it means to abide in Jesus, but what does it really mean? It means first that you're going to be saved. You're going to be joined into Jesus through a personal relationship with him. You can become that new creature in Christ Jesus. There's no abiding in Jesus at first. We're not a part of his family. He doesn't live within us. That's that foundation. To abide in Jesus is first to have that relationship with him. But then he goes beyond that. It takes time to abide in Jesus. And here's where we in our busy schedules sometimes miss out. You've got to study God's word to abide in Jesus. You've got to study God's word. That doesn't mean that you have to go to seminary or Bible college or something like that. That just means that you spend time, T-I-M-E, in God's word on a regular basis. And not only just read it, but meditate on it. I imagine everybody in here is just as guilty as I am. I'll read something in my Bible, and if 15 minutes later you say, "Well, Preacher Ed, what'd you read?" I think it was in Corinthians. You know, that's not meditating on it. To meditate on it is to ponder over it. What's he saying here? What's the context he's saying here? What's God trying to get across to me? We meditate on it. That means we learn to listen. We learn to listen to the voice of God. We learn to listen for the voice of God. And if we're going to listen, that means sometimes we just have to stop talking. You ever talk to somebody and sometimes you're in the back of your mind, you're thinking, "Would you just shut up so I can talk? Would you just be quiet a minute? I'd like to add something to this conversation. If you'll just be quiet a minute, I'll explain it to you." You think God ever feels that way? We're so busy saying, "God, you know, bless grandma and bless grandpa, and God, I need a new car, and God, I need enough money to buy my groceries, and God, I got a sore big toe," and God, you know, and God said, "Well, wait a minute. I've got something I would like to say." And sometimes we get so busy And our prayer life becomes, God, I thank you for this, and God, I need that, and God, I need that. Lord, I got to go. Work's calling me. Or I got to go to school, or it's time to go play ball, or whatever. And God's saying, wait a minute. I've got something I want to say to you. And it's so important that we learn to listen. To abide in Christ is to learn to listen and to discern the voice of God. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Now, the devil will put some thoughts in your mind as well, I understand. But we learn to discern, because God's never going to tell you anything's going to contradict this word of God, the Bible. But we learn to hear the voice of God. And when we learn to hear the voice of God, the next step is to obey. To obey the voice of God. You think about it. What does this lead to? Are the works that we do as individuals and as a church my idea? The idea somebody else has, or God's idea? Where do we get the impetus, the drive to do what we do? From ourselves, from others, from the Lord. You think about all the great, great people in the Bible. That accomplished so much because they abided in Christ. And how, when they obeyed, God blessed. And if you think about it, God is a God of variety. It's so easy sometimes to think, well, now, this is what God did back then, so let's do it now. But wait a minute, God may have a different plan. You know, as a pastor, if you had something that was successful in a previous church, you think, well, that worked really, really good down at that church. Well, that may not be God's plan for this church. Or I tried that down at that church and it blew up, but that may be exactly what God wants for this church. Let's think about some biblical examples. You remember on one occasion the children of Israel were without water? And God says, Moses, take the staff, the rod of God, and go hit the rock. And Moses did, and water came out. Well, there was a time later when again they were without water. And what did God say to Moses? Go speak to the rock. Go speak to the rock. Well, Moses was pretty exasperated and disgusted with the complaining, griping Israelites. And so he goes over there and he says, you stiff-necked, hard-headed people. And wham, wham, he hits that rock with his staff. God brings water. He disobeyed God. And if you know the story, God says, you just blew your chance to go into the promised land. You were to honor me by speaking to the rock this time. But no, you did it differently. As far as we know, there's only one place that the children of Israel marched around and the walls fell. That was Jericho. Only one time did God tell Israel through Gideon, your 32,000 army is too big, cut it down to 300 and go attack those 110,000 Midianites. I mean, they're outnumbered almost 4 to 1 at 32,000 to 110,000. What were the odds at 300? But God told them to do it that way. One time they told the send the choir out first, the Israel praisers, and the army can drag along behind. And when the choir went out in battle first, the enemy began to kill themselves. And all the when the soldiers got there, all they had to do was just pick up all the leftover weaponry and gold and whatever they had. You think about Jesus. He healed one blind man by touching his eyes. He healed another blind man by touching his eyes, and the man said, I can't see quite clearly yet, so Jesus touched him again. He healed another blind man by spitting on the ground, making mud, sticking it in the man's eyes, and telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now that's enough for three denominations today. The one touch, the two touch, and the mud in the eye denominations. I don't know why Jesus did it three different ways. But you see, he was listening to the Heavenly Father. And he did it on the basis of what the Heavenly Father told him to do. And that's just exactly what Jesus is telling us in John 15. He's saying, listen, I want to do great things through you. And you know, in those same passages of Scripture, he says, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than I do, you'll be able to do because I go to my Father. He's talking about the power of God that's supposed to flow through the disciples. But he says it can only happen as we listen to God. As we listen to God. And it will amaze you how God can direct your paths, how God can lead you, how God can manifest himself through you if you learn to listen, to abide in the Lord, and to make your decisions on the basis of hearing from God. Now, of course, I just told you about Moses messing up. You remember Abraham's story? You and Sarah are going to have a baby. He's going to be a great blessing to many nations. Well, you know, years go by and Sarah never gets pregnant. And they get all up and say, well, we got to help God out. So Abraham sleeps with a slave girl and has Ishmael, and the Arabs and the Jews have been fussing ever since. Been fussing ever since. At enemy ever since. You see, that's so important to learn to hear from God. To learn to hear from God. And then to obey. You see, no matter how good what I do or you do looks to the world, like by taped on tomatoes, how does it look to God? If we abide in Christ and we do what we do as an individual or as a church, on the basis of hearing from God, our lives will be blessing. And Jesus says that we've already said, if we don't abide, we can't do anything that pleases him. He said, if you abide, you can bring forth much fruit. Sometimes we get busy in our daily lives, and we wonder why we're not bearing more fruit. Sometimes we get busy in the church. You read the story of those churches in Revelation. One church says, we're rich and increased in goods, have need of nothing. Another says, Jesus said, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. One church, you've got a reputation of being on fire, but you're lukewarm. We've got to learn to abide in Christ so that every decision, every action is from the Lord. I encourage you, strive to abide in Christ. Strive to abide in Christ in a way that brings forth much fruit. It's God directed, God approved, God empowered, and it's eternal lasting when you abide in Christ. It's gold, silver, and precious gems. That is what's so important. There will be people that will get in heaven, but they won't receive many crowns, even though it looked like they were really, really busy on earth, because what they did was taped on fruit. There are others that you think, well, I didn't see them do that much, but what they did was a result of hearing from God. And hearing from God makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? What about your life? Do you set aside some time on a regular basis to hear from God? When God speaks a word to you, give, pray, visit, call, witness. Do you obey? When God gives you a different instruction than he gave you the last time, do you obey? What about our church? Are we in the power of God, under the direction of God? Are we just doing what the preacher wants or somebody else wants? If Jesus, like he did in the book of Revelation, stood here this morning where I am, what would he say to us? Would he say, well done? You're faithful. My prayer is that myself and the churches I pastor will stand before the Lord one day and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. May that be your goal as well. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.